You're with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Monkeypox. U.S. government data proves COVID-19 vaccines increase of suffering shingles by at least 4,925%. Oh, my Lord. All cases from sudden adult death syndrome to monkeypox to long COVID are nothing more than vax adverse events. I'm getting this from Mark Crispin Miller's Substack again. Cover up narratives ahead of PSYOP 22 with blood clotting actually being amyloid, a waxy translucent substance consisting primarily of protein that is deposited in organs and tissues under abnormal conditions. Clotting, monkeypox, or the new name the World Health Organization is urgently trying to find for it to make it sound more frightening, is about to become the word of the day in the mainstream media. Now that they know everyone is bored of hearing about the Ukraine. Oh, Monk, you funny boy. The WHO, is convening an emergency meeting and will most likely have announced a public health emergency of international concern over the alleged disease by the end of June. All member states, including the USA, UK, Canada, Europe, and Australia, will be legally obliged to then act. The disease is nigh on impossible to distinguish from chickenpox and shingles, and the U.S. government data reveals that COVID-19 vaccination increases the risk of developing shingles by a shocking, I'll get it right this time, 4,925% at the very least. That seems like a high enough number. According to a scientific study published in 1988, it's virtually impossible to distinguish between monkeypox and chickenpox. Except for that one's called monkeypox and one's called chickenpox. I can see a difference right there. Anyway, so, I guess they're going to be working overtime to cover the results from these injections, like blaming heart attacks on global warming. We are going to see a litany of insane lies that will become increasingly hard to believe. What we are witnessing is the crumbling of a narrative, the wake up from a psyop, and it will go on for a while. But for the perpetuators of these insane shenanigans, it's a losing battle, and it's more than shenanigans. I just like the word shenanigans. Faith in what they are saying is at an all-time low, and there are enough of us truth tellers getting louder and louder that the truth will prevail. And at a certain point, it will boil over. There will be a point where it suddenly shifts. We as a population won't be in this forever, and those who have participated in this diabolical act will sell each other out so fast your head will spin. And more than just your head will spin, you're going to do the spin, you're going to do the hokey pokey, and you're going to shake it all around. All those voices on the sidelines who have been afraid to speak their minds will do so, you'll see. When they see there is no backlash, those voices are going to be overwhelming. They're going to go, I knew it all along. That day may be coming sooner than we think. Think of the hell to pay for those who have promoted the lies. There will be another Nuremberg or something like it. A crime of this magnitude, it will not go unpunished. You're listening to TNT.
Dismantling the woke.
It's a woke society, and I am fed up with it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Michael Parker had a punk rock club in Fort Worth, Texas. And then he got into media and truth-telling. From Texas, his show's called Deprogram. And he is the main man at TNT. Michael Parker is the man at TNT. Oh, yeah. Deprogrammed, deprogrammed. You're listening to Deprogrammed on TNT. It's Deprogrammed. No, this is Joseph Alves' Technicolor Dreamcast. But you get it, because he's on now. So it's kind of a mix of the two. It's called Deprogrammed. It's Michael Parker. It's Michael Parker, and his show is called Deprogrammed on TNT. Hello, Michael.
I'm feeling a little early 80s new wave on that one. I'm kind of digging it, man. I'm serious.
It's Deprogrammed. I know, you're right. It's Deprogrammed.
I'm like a little robotic synth pop kind of thing happening.
Exactly. Yeah, you can see like people doing the robot dance with it, like 100% awkward ways. It's the program. I love that title of your show. I was thinking about it because I was reading something somewhere and they were talking about deprogramming. I thought it was deprogramming, but Tim just told me it was deprogrammed. So
Joseph,
I like
check
that.
This out. Well, thank what? You. Check this out. So it always happens. You know, you try to think up a good name, right? Whether it's a band, mm-hmm. whether it's a show or whatever.
It's hard to do.
It's hard to do. And you're also thinking, well, now you're also thinking, well, wait a minute, I need to get a URL too. But this time, since we're on TNT, I was like, you know, I just need a good name. I woke up in the middle of the night one night before the show started. And for some reason that was in my head. And I was like, deprogram. I'm like, ooh, I like that. I'm going to remember it. And so I remembered it and I called the show that. And the idea, Joseph, and I've had to explain it to people a couple of times lately, was that, for example, you know, when people pitch you ideas for shows and people pitch me ideas for shows, it's like, I've got to be honest, man, I get a lot of kind of social justice stuff kind of still pitched to me. And I was like, look, I'll be honest. Part of the reason I call this deprogram is because I think I think the hyper focus of sex, race, pronouns, which God you pray to, where you put your sexual organs, all of that. That's the problem. That's the problem. Right. I want us to get away from that. So it's just funny that you bring that up because, one other thing. See, you caught me in mid-rant tonight because my wife and I were just laughing and talking before this. So check this out.
Deprogram my audience.
I'm going to try. So I'm feeling really good about the title because a few people complimented me on it. And recently I had to explain it. But also then I find out, I probably shouldn't give away trade secrets, but I find out slightly, this has happened to me several times before. Then I find out on Twitter that some young woman, and I'm sure her show is great, and I mean this with the utmost respect, I found out she's got a show called Deprogramming with, and I can't think of the young lady's name. The way I found out about this is she had a guest who I follow on Twitter on her show. And I was like, oh no, somebody's, but anyway, I don't have the heart to tell her that, you know, I've named my show this after she had that as her name, but hers is deprogramming. And mine is deprogrammed. So it happens. The same thing happened with the very first show I ever did. I named a show Dark Matter many, many, many years ago when I was doing kind of a Coast to Coast Art Bell kind of thing, only to find out that another guy had a show called Dark Matters Plural. He got really kind of irked with me. It was unintentional on my part. I just thought it was cool words. And then after that, everything I was constantly seeing, like books, records, movies, you know, called Dark Matter. And it is a good name. And you know how it is. If you come up with a good name, unfortunately, probably somebody else has got it out there, but it happens, man.
That's why band names are impossible, because all the good ones are pretty much taken. I mean, imagine back in the day when you could call yourself, hey, let's just call ourselves the Eagles, and no one had that yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, no one has the Eagles yet. It's like, you know.
You're right.
Yeah. So, but, dude, like, you know, there's a band called The Who that's like an African band, and they do like sort of world music. Yeah, there's a band called The Who. You know, obviously we know the other Who, the one with Pete Townsend and stuff. But I'm saying, like, they said it was okay. You can call your The Who. I talked to their manager of the African Who, and I'm not sure if it's African. It's some world music kind of thing. And they're called The Who. And they were confronted by The Who's management, and The Who's management said, okay, it's fine. You can call your band The Who. So there's two The Who's.
Well, and there's only one that we've heard of, but the other one's probably pretty good as well.
I think they're great, actually.
Okay.
So deprogrammed, though, man, that's the word of the day, because I feel like we're heading more and more in that direction. We've been talking about it in previous interviews tonight. Culmination of the Great Awakening, the deprogramming. I think it's funny. I want you to talk a little bit about that, if you think that the deprogramming is happening from your neck of the woods as well, but also go into a hysterical story of being like pitched social justice causes and like how you have to explain that. I guess you already did, but I don't know if there's another nugget there.
Well, it just happened. It happened a couple of times last week, and it's like, and it was pitched by a friend of the show who I just absolutely love and great, great person. And no, it was not meant with any ill intent. It was just the person pitches the idea to Cece, who works with the shows, and then Cece pitches it to me, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a breath, and because first of all, these kind of, I'm not going to say what the topic is because it's kind of mundane, and I don't want
to irk
It was a pride thing, a pride month thing,
and right.
I have this joke with my daughters who are teenagers. It's like nobody wants to hear the straight white guy talk about abortion or talk about pride, and you know, there's certain. Just, I mean, that's not my brand, and it's like there are people who bring really great quality content and things to say about those subjects. It's not that I don't have feelings about it. It's just that I feel like some of those subjects you can hear about them anywhere. And I don't think that I have something that unique to say about it. Okay, like one of my buddies, Jim Breslow, who I used to produce his show, he is a civil rights attorney, okay? And he's gonna start working on TNT in the afternoon. He's the guy that you should talk to about that because that's his world. I mean, he was a civil rights attorney. He knows all about that. And for me, it's just, I also don't like to give too much of a platform to these things because I think that it just further divides us and that this hyper amplification and hyper focus on, you know, here's my pronoun, here's my sexual preference, here's my race, here's my religion, here's, you know, this thing that I do. And I think that that is playing right into the hands of the social engineers who have been so successful so far. And the whole point of the show is called Deprogram, which is to get away from all that. We should be flat, right? It's just like MLK said, you know, judge a man by his character, not by the color of his skin. And that's the way I feel. Man, woman, boy, girl. I'm tired of all of that, and I don't really want to speak to it too much. There are times when you have to, but if I just need to fill an hour, that's not something that I want to talk about. Now, that being said, I think next week I've got a Clarence Thomas biographer coming on, so inevitably we'll talk about the Supreme Court case and Roe versus Wade and all that, but that's within context. But just to, and I'm trying to think what else. Somebody else pitched me something this week that I wasn't super fired up about. I know what it was, but I ended up doing that one because you got to fill an hour. So, you know, it's a fine line, isn't it?
What Joseph? Was that it's one? Like a, I want to comment real quick, though, on the
pride.
Okay, you don't have to go into it. The pride thing and the abortion thing, because it's like, it's not that you're like, there's any kind of animosity towards, like, people should be proud of what they are and what they represent and their identities, and they shouldn't feel oppressed, okay? But we can see that there's an agenda beneath a lot of these issues. It's clear. It's like to pretend that it's obvious. I mean, it's not even a question,
Joseph,
at this point.
Joseph,
it's just so Joseph, obvious. It's, so it's like, so to acknowledge it and to go like, hey, but wait, that's part of what I'm trying to deprogram, to me is just a super reasonable thing and doesn't reflect on some sort of like moral character, like, oh my God, you must be against this group or against that group. It has nothing to do with that. It's you're against division. You're against dividing people and creating distractions when there are like serious issues afoot. And it's not to say that there aren't the time and places for those kind of issues as well to be brought up and talked about and amended and made more fair universally. But with that issue in particular, obviously with this sort of affront on kids that are too young to really or shouldn't really be dealing with those issues when they're like in kindergarten, for instance, you know, that doesn't make you hateful as well to say, hey, I don't think kids should be really focusing on adult sexuality. That doesn't seem like a hateful thing to say. I don't care if it's straight adult sexuality or gay or any adult sexuality. That's just my opinion. And I'm sorry if that, you know, cancels me to some groups. I love the gays. I love trans. I love
me
all
too.
People. All of us are equal. But like, and there's even trans people starting to step up. And there's, you know, movements of like trans against grooming and stuff like that. And it hurts that community in a way because
it does.
Children should be protected and they should be left innocent. And also, we need to focus on inflation and impending food shortages and the genocidal shot going around that's also being presented to six-month-year-olds. Those are the issues that I think we need to be focusing on. And as far as abortion goes, and I'm a white dude, and right. You know, I hear that narrative of like, oh, if you're a white guy, you can't speak. But it's like, I don't know about that, because I'm also a person, and it's about human life. And so I do have an opinion of it. And so why not share my opinion? And my opinion is, I think the Europeans got it right. I do, you know, I think it's a horrible choice to have to make, but I think there should be choice in the matter. I am pro-life in my soul, you know, my soul. If we lived in an ideal world, I would be 100% pro-life, but I am more like, I think the Europeans got it right. In the first trimester, if you take care of it early, okay, it's not great. And you know, think about it long and hard. That's my view. And yes, I'm a white dude saying my view. And it's like, what's wrong with that? Like, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? It's like, I can say my view. It doesn't mean anything more than me just being a human sharing my opinion. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like,
I agree with you 100%. When I was making the joke about my daughters and I, it's like, on one hand, honestly, I just don't want to talk about it, because I feel fortunate enough to have this job that I would rather spend the hour, hopefully bringing something more unique. So I had a guest, I think he's probably been on your show as well, and I'm embarrassingly forgetting his name, but he is a publicist. I'm pretty sure he's probably gay, and he's super witty, and we always have a great time. And he and I were kind of talking about this, and he was saying, well, Michael, he goes, it's just not your experience. I was like, precisely. That's not, you know, when I speak to these things, I'm speaking to it. If I were to talk about BLM or something, that's just not my experience. So I can only talk about it from this point of view of somebody who's not within it. So you're right. It doesn't mean that I can't have an opinion. And in the case of abortion, I think a man should definitely have an opinion about it. It's just, personally, I don't want to talk about it on the air, because I'd rather talk about other things. And B, I think sometimes people just don't want to hear about it, and they would rather hear Joseph Arthur or Michael Parker talk about something else, because if they want to hear about abortion, they can turn on almost any news channel. They can turn on NPR and hear about it from the left. They can turn on talk radio and hear about it from the right. And I think the value that you and I bring, hopefully, is that we can have a laugh, and we can approach things from a kind of artsy state of mind, and fill in those areas that don't get filled in by just regular radio and television hosts. And part of that is hopefully finding content that's not covered day in and day out by other people.
I feel you on that. I do. I have, like, I'm Christian, so I end up getting lots of religious people on as well. And then they inevitably go in that direction. And so, you know, I don't know. I think it's an interesting conversation. I mean, I hear what you're saying, though, too. It's like, it is the awkward one. I do kind of like the awkward ones, because I look at it almost like a sort of a jigsaw puzzle of language, or more like tiptoeing through a minefield, really. And I like to try to find ways of expressing ideas in hot button issues that seem very reasonable. You know what I mean? Without trying to offend anybody, which is difficult to do nowadays. But in terms of being deprogrammed, do you think there's this mass deprogramming? I had this guy Anders Vanderfelt on last night, and we're going down the rabbit hole, and he's a, you know, COVID skeptic and environmental skeptic. He's all like a truther kind of person. And so I broached the subject of like, oh, where do you think things are going, or something like that. And he was like, I think things are heading in a really optimistic direction. And I was like, wait, what? That was exactly the opposite of what I expected him to say. And he went into this thing about how if you feel it in, and I was, at first I was like, oh my God, this guy might be nuts or something. I really did. I had a weird reaction to it. I just was shocked that he went into optimism in a way where, you know, it just was shocking. So I was like, and he was talking about how if you feel it in your body, you can feel certain things are unfolding. And it, he went in this really interesting direction. He was a physicist and kind of hyper intellectual guy. And he was like, but if you feel, you can feel that things are shifting. Like, when's the last time you seen Greta Thunberg? He brought her up as an example, which was kind of interesting. True. And he said, you know, things are shifting and they're not going to admit it, but it is shifting. And ever since that conversation, I got to say, he like kind of turned me to his way of thinking, which was surprising. As I said, my instant reaction was one of disbelief, really. And but since then, I've been kind of meditating on it and going like, you know what? It is shifting. I am feeling it. I am feeling like the narrative is crumbling and people are talking about the narrative crumbling. But like, I do feel like we're on the brink of really going beyond the oppression that we've been in. What's your feeling on that? Well, now I got to go to a break. We'll get your feeling on that right after these brief words on TNT.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swimming in racism.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
In many countries around the world, medical care is scarce. Countless millions have no access to safe surgery. Mercy Ships is there to help. Mercy Ships provides free surgeries for the thousands of those who are waiting for surgery at each port.
Mercy Ships is bringing services to countries that would otherwise never be able to access those services.
Find out how you can help by visiting our website at mercyships.org. That's mercyships.org.
When you need to know what's going on around the world and at home, keep it on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The program with Michael Parker. It's a show, it's a show, it's a show. Here on TNT, Freedom Radio, whoa, 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 whoa. The program with Michael Parker. It's a show, it's a show, it's a show. Here on TNT, Freedom Radio, whoa, whoa, whoa. So right at the break, I was asking you if you felt the shift in your body, if you listened to your body, are you feeling the shift of the narrative breaking down?
Before I answer that, I did listen to my body as you were singing that song, and I realized Wall of Voodoo, Stan Ridgway, it's on a Mexican radio. That's not enough. That's just.
Oh, yeah, that's you're how, right.
I was like, that's how I. Yeah, you're I right. just, we're on the same wavelength. It's just, it's so that's subliminal. Funny, and dude. It's so obtuse.
That's, you're right. That's how my it's mind a total works. Ripoff.
In a good way. In a good way.
In a good way. It was honest. It was honest.
I actually meant it as a compliment, too. Not.
Oh,
not
no.
Even
I took
as
it that way, dude. I love it. Yeah, no, I took it that way. I definitely.
We appreciate the same things. Okay. So the answer to your question. So it's funny. I am optimistic. I've been on Hervé Voyer-Morich, who's on TNT as well. I was on his show one time, Geopolitics and Empire, you know, a year and a half or two ago. And at that point, I told him I was optimistic about certain things. Not everything I said was optimistic, but I told him I was optimistic. And then I was on his show here on TNT a while back. And he goes, Michael, last time I talked to you, you were kind of optimistic. And right now I'm fully blackpilled. Are you still optimistic? And what I told him was like, Hervoye, I don't have a choice. Like, you know, and Joseph, you have a daughter. I have two daughters. Like I have to be optimistic. Now there's some there's some things I'm not optimistic about. And one of those is, and I hate to say this, one of the things I'm not optimistic about is the United States of America, but I'm optimistic about humanity. And I just choose to be, it's like, I choose to believe in God. I choose to believe that we went to the moon. I have no proof of either, but like, you know, I choose to believe we did both of them. And I choose to be optimistic and believe that the human spirit is indomitable. And regardless of how bad we've screwed up the U.S., and I'm old fashioned, I love the U.S. and I hope that we get through this, but I don't know about that. But for humanity, I think we do go on and hopefully we'll get better. So I don't know if that's an exact answer, but it's
good. Listen, I have a lot to say about what you just said. You said so much. I'm with you on the God thing, the moon thing. Are you? I don't know, man. Have you seen?
I'm being kind of sarcastic.
Have you seen that tinfoil thing they say went to the moon? I don't know, dude.
Right.
I'm not saying it didn't go. I'm just saying when I look at that spaceship, I'm not so, or whatever that thing is, that cardboard box with aluminum foil on it. I mean, I'm just not sure. I'm just not 100% convinced. I don't know. It doesn't look that robust.
You notice. That's a great way to put it. It does not look robust at all. And you'll notice that I say I choose to believe it. It's like,
right.
So anyway, I mean that partially in jest, but you know what I'm saying.
No, who knows? Yeah, who knows?
Exactly.
But listen, I like also that nihilism is not an option for us parents. No. And it reminds me, and I quoted Dennis Prager in an earlier segment, so I'm on a little bit of a Dennis Prager Bible speech thing. And he's great. He's a great modern philosopher, I think. I really didn't know much about him other than when I was sort of more of a lefty before that meant tyranny. I just assumed he was like one of those right-wing guys that was evil just because that was like how they cast all those people. And then so recently I've like discovered this new mind, Dennis Prager, who's pretty interesting and he's got some interesting things to say. And one of the things he said was kind of regarding what you just said, which is like happiness, your state of mind is a moral obligation. And, you know, you can't basically to nutshell it. It's like you can't be a bummer. You have to cultivate a good state of mind, and a happy state of mind is your sort of moral. It's a question of morality, which I thought was really interesting. So that reminded me of that. And the fact that, if you're a parent, you can't descend into nihilism. You lose that right when you become a parent. You know, you can have fun with nihilism before you're a parent. You know, you can go like, oh, the world doesn't matter. Woe is me. And I'm like a punk rock and who cares and whatever. That's all fine if you're not a parent. But once you have a kid, that option goes out the window.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, what you were saying about America, too, is like I got a little bit of optimism this week with Ron DeSantis talking about how that his energy policy would be opposite of Joe Biden's. That made me feel like America could potentially recover if we had somebody with that sort of insight in office. And then plus, he also spoke out against tyranny and Marxist agendas in regards to the election that just happened in Colombia, where they apparently elected a Marxist with a tyrannical agenda, and he spoke out against that. So I was like, man, this guy is kind of restoring my faith that America might be recoverable. But what's your take on what's going on with America now? And if you agree with that?
Well, I hope so. And, you know, I would vote for him. My concern is, and because I talk to intelligent people like you on your show all the time, and you know, I still talk to people here in LA that think, they'll say, because they want to be gentle about how they say this, because they don't want to insult me, because they're kind of feeling me out and I'm doing the same thing. But they basically say, yeah, I just don't know about the election fraud. And I'm like, look, come on, man. It's like, to me, the election integrity has been an issue for hundreds of years, certainly for decades. Mm-hmm. And what we just had, I don't think Arizona's had your primaries yet, but on June 7th, we had 7 state primaries throughout the U.S. One of those was in California. So what happened here in L.A., we had one, well, in California, but specifically here in L.A., we once again had just absolutely terrible turnout. I think it's like 19 or 20%. And
wow,
this guy, yeah, I mean, it may be more now, but even with that, you know, they couldn't get all the votes counted. And at the end of this, the person who was leading the mayoral race here in Los Angeles is a guy named Rick Caruso. Now, Rick Caruso is a billionaire, but I don't think that makes you a bad person just because you're worth a lot of money. In some cases,
I don't think so either.
In some cases, there are people with a lot of money who are bad people, and there's also poor people that are bad people. So it doesn't, to me, necessarily mean that, you know, anyway, that's the generalization that they make, and they try to call him, oh, he's a Trumpian type person. And anyway.
But he's a Democrat, though. He ran as a Democrat, right?
Yes, and he was registered
as... Even though he's like a right-winger, actually. He's like a secret right guy, right?
Well, I don't even know if that's the case. I mean, when you grow up in L.A., right. Yeah. So anyway, but what you're saying is the basic critique on the guy. He's a billionaire. He just registered as a Democrat. Long story short, he won the election. Well, it's taken him like a week to count all the votes. And as we go on counting the votes, we're still not finished. Guess what? Karen Bass, the DNC, I would say, is operative and favorite, is edging in front of him. And, the turnout is turning out to be a little bit better. I mean, it's like, come on, you can't even make this stuff up. And and I've made the point to people before, what I don't understand, because I had an election person on a couple of days ago, and you know, and she, to her credit, had walked the talk, you know, and had done her civic duty and worked the polls before, and helped people get to the polls, did several different jobs. Well, I mean,
I'm
you know, we're
that's terrible, dude. I just couldn't resist saying it. And it's like, I tried to stop myself from saying it, but
you know what? Anyway. Typically I would have done that, but that's actually excellent. So anyway, she didn't work those particular polls.
Wait, yeah. I faded out there for a second. That woke me up. What are you saying?
Yeah, this is a good time. So anyway, well, what she was trying to say, because I posed this question to her, I'm like, okay, so you've worked these particular positions within your area of California. So why is it, you know, why can't we count the votes? Because back in the day, now maybe I'm being idealistic, but when we had paper votes, you know, there was no computers. And maybe you had a pocket calculator, but maybe you didn't. We seem to be able to get vote tabulations quickly. Now, with computers, it takes us days, if not weeks. And so anyway, this is what's just playing out here. So back to your original question about DeSantis, listen, I would vote for DeSantis straight up. My concern is that 2024 looks just like 2020. I don't see any reason to believe that anything that went down in 2024 is necessarily not, or I'm sorry, in 2020 won't happen again. I don't think we've fixed very much, and I don't see any reason to believe that. And all the talk of a red wave, I'll believe it when I see it. Yes, I certainly believe the sentiment is out there, but it matters who counts the votes. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why the turnout was so low there too. I mean, I think, I feel the same way. I'm just a bit like, I don't know, that feels, it's like political theater, you know? And
yes.
I don't know. You're right. I don't know how we amend that. I know there are a lot of people working on getting voter integrity up to snuff, but you're right. Maybe I've heard some suggestion of we should all just switch to paper votes. Is that being, you know, considered?
I don't know. But listen, have you ever heard of Jim Mars? He wrote the book, it's a Crossfire, which is what Oliver Stone's JFK film was based upon. Anyway, he was a hero of mine. And in the 90s, when I started really getting, I kind of quit playing music for a while, and then I was just reading all kinds of crazy stuff on the internet. I got into Jim Mars. He wrote a bunch of books. He passed away a couple of years ago. But I got to interview him several times, and he was a big proponent from the get-go. It's like, listen, man, we have to get back to paper ballots. That's just, it's as simple as that. And it's right, because you have to have a chain of custody of that paper ballot. And another point that I'll make, now you've got me fired up, Joseph, is that, you know, several of these people were saying to me, several different people in the past week all said, Michael, people didn't know there was an election. I'm like, well, hold on. Okay, here in California, they send a ballot to everybody's house, whether you want one or not. And the Democrats shove that down our throats. You're going to have these mail-in ballots. So what this tells me is that your idea that you're making it easier to vote, but now that nobody showed up and you're telling me that nobody knows that there was even an election, well, that's pretty telling to me that this mail-in ballot thing, well, that was just a facade. That was always what you wanted. So anyway, the election bugs me, and I'm very concerned about it. And so a guy like DeSantis, I think he could do a world of good for the U.S. And I think that there's a lot of people that would share you and I's opinion of the man and the direction that we need to go in. I'm just concerned about the counting of the votes.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's, we're living in a world full of propaganda, and there's this uprising of consciousness, which is such an epic time to be alive, because
it is
people
that
are up leveling, their consciousness is expanding, but we're dealing with so much propaganda and shady business around very important issues, which is pushing people's consciousness. So it's just such an interesting dichotomy at work. And you know what's funny is, and by the way, happy Father's Day, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Happy Father's Day to you as well.
Thank you, sir. So my friend called me up and he said, hey man, happy Father's Day. I just found out Mesa is the most conservative city in America, and that's where I live. I accidentally moved to the most conservative city in America, and you know, you're going to have to come visit me, because
I would love to. And Joseph, if you play gigs there, I bet a ton of people will show up.
I'll tell you what, man, I just got a place that I'm moving into in July with an acre of land. We should do a TNT Freedom concert in my place in Mesa, because I have an acre and it's like Mad Max. It's like big dirt land, you know, desert sort of land, but it's like, has this sort of Mad Max vibe, and it's epic, dude. I'm going to have a full on recording studio in there now. So I'll be able to like up level my whole sort of TNT gig as well, and expand the musical horizon of it. So I'm super excited about that, but dude, you can come visit because I have space.
I would love to.
Yeah.
I grew up
on a dual radio thing. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I grew up on a farm, so I'm used to wide open spaces, and it's good for your mind. I mean, it's good to be able to see, because, you know, right here where I live, I mean, I've got a fence around me. I've got trees and power lines and other people's houses, but you're going to have space. You're going to be able to, you could already see because you're in Arizona, but it's just good for your mind and your soul to be able to see for long distances. In my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I brought it up too, as well, just because you're out there in LA, and I kind of, you know, being a New Yorker who left and accidentally moved to the most conservative city in America, go figure, you know, there's like a bit of an echo chamber here, because there's barely anyone wearing masks. You see here and there people with masks, but it's definitely the outliers, as opposed to New York, where you were an outlier if you weren't. I'm wondering what the temperature like in this regard is in LA. Like you're a kind of a freedom loving dude, and you know, with a different perspective than I'm sure a lot of the people out there. What's it like in LA lately?
I told a guest today I said, I'm going to just straight up profile, because my guest today was a Mexican woman who is on our side and out there in the trenches pushing back against the vaccine mandates. And what we were just talking about various things. We were talking about the votes, and we were talking about how the Hispanic communities and some portions of the Black communities, certainly Asian communities, these communities are actually pretty traditional in their in what they like. They believe in God. They have traditional values. And what I said was, you know what? The people that I think are holding us all back are white elitists. It's like, I mean, the people that get it now are, and it's funny because I used to tell my wife, it'd be a joke. It's like, we'd go to the pet store or something. I was like, baby, I could tell you every person in here who voted for Hillary Clinton. And yes, if that seems insulting to people, it was meant to be insulting, because I can pick these people out because they have like a certain vibe to them. They just emanate the anger, you know, and in the bang, the girls with the hardcore bangs and all this. So what I'm saying is, I mean this partially in jest, but it's like, it's white elitism and this white privileged self-loathing that holds us all back. This is not coming from minority communities. This is coming from white people that hate white people. And they are going to be the last ones to understand what we all already know, which is that freedom is good, liberty is good, and you know, you don't need an authoritarian dystopian overlord government watching every step that you make and telling you how to live your life. Joseph, I was going to break this on the show tomorrow, but now I'm fired up. So I just read tonight that Joe Biden.
Wait, Michael, can you do the breaking news right after this break?
I'll do the breaking news after this break.
It seems exciting and like leaving it on a cliffhanger. Plus, I love your voice, dude. It's a pleasure just listening to you talk, dude. You have a great voice.
Likewise.
And thank you, sir. And you know what? We got a question from Tim. He wants to know, how do I become a silver fox like Michael? So we're going to get those two cliffhanging answers right after these words from TNT.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
The latest research by Redfield and Wilton Strategies, released on the 17th of June, finds that the economy is on the top of mind for midterm voters. The survey asks respondents which issues are most likely to determine how you vote in the November midterm election. Respondents were asked to select their top three issues, and the economy topped the list, with 61% identifying it as a top issue. No other issues were close. Healthcare arrived at a distant second, with 31% placing it among the top issues. Abortion hit third at 27%, followed by immigration at 22%. It's notable that foreign policy and defence only came in at 10%. Because the United States' economic woes, to a large extent, have been a product of the military-industrial complex and disastrous foreign interventions. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
You only put your son to bed 1 hour ago, and he's woken up saying his tummy really hurts and he's got a temperature. You're worried. The 111 person you normally speak to isn't available. The surgery's closed. It's not an emergency, but you're not sure what to do. Then you remember the new free 24-hour NHS number, 111. They assess you and direct you straight away to the medical help you need. Your 111 relieved mum.
If it's not a 999 emergency but you need medical help fast, there's now 111 number to call. When it's less urgent than 999, call 111. Now available on the Isle of Wight.
Telling the truth is the only mandate we believe in. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with Michael Parker, who's got breaking news. But first, how do you become a silver fox? Tim wants to know.
Make a lot of mistakes over and over again.
Is that how? I'm destined, man. I guess I'm one too.
Oh, it's going to happen. I mean, I get things right occasionally, but usually... Everything that I do it the hard way first. So anyway,
right.
that's the way it worked out in my bloodline is, just do a lot of dumb things, make a lot of mistakes and do everything the hard way.
Well,
and then
you
get
good
gray
now,
hair.
Brother. You're doing good.
Thank God. So check
this
out, Joseph.
Breaking news. Let's hear this.
Okay. So, I think this is emblematic of just how absurd the Biden administration is. So I read this tonight. I was going to lead with this tomorrow, but I'm going to tell, and I'm still going to do it because it's a good story.
This is the time.
Yeah. So this is it. U.S. to drastically reduce nicotine content in cigarettes. President Joe Biden's administration is set to announce a new policy requiring cigarette producers to reduce nicotine to non-addictive levels. Okay, so here's the deal. Regardless of how you feel about cigarettes.
This is deep. Go for it. I got something to say to this too. Go ahead.
Regardless of how you feel about substance abuse, nicotine, alcohol, or what have you, this is a typical Joe Biden move. I'm going to point a finger at an industry and make them do something. Why do absolutely nothing? And it's like, so he's going to point at Philip Morris and the rest of the, you know, cigarette people and say, you know what, you're going to need to knock out that nasty cigarette nicotine and let them wrestle with that. Meanwhile, the world is burning on his watch. He's accomplished absolutely zero, less than zero, and he's going to tell cigarette companies to remove nicotine. I'm not saying that smoking cigarettes is good for you. I actually have smoked on and off a lot, and you know, I love smoking cigarettes. It's not good for you. I don't smoke right now, but I might later, you know. But regardless, it's just, to me, it's emblematic of this man's administration. It's tell other people, start fixing stuff, get busy. Meanwhile, I'm going to do nothing and the world burns.
Dude, listen, this is great. And also, I got another nugget to add on to your thing for tomorrow too, because this is really good and weird. This is weird because, man, I had Dr. Brian Artis on a couple times and he brought up the fact, and I was getting ready and I have a Zyn nicotine pouch, full disclosure, in my mouth right now, dude. I'm a raging nicotine fiend right now. So listen,
I love it too.
Yeah, and I was about to quit actually that weekend, and he told me this information. He said that when hospitalizations first started happening for COVID-19, they found dramatically low level of people who were smokers or addicted to nicotine being hospitalized. Dude, how crazy is it that they're trying to remove the nicotine from cigarettes? That's true, because he said something like, and I'm going to get it wrong, but in your brain, there's a thing called the nicotinamidis. It's a nicotine nominis, you know, it's a medical thing that sounds like, did I get it right?
I think you got it from George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic. It's like, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's the nicotine dominus in your brain. Anyway, it's a receptor in your brain that COVID-19 affects. And so essentially, when you're taking in nicotine, you're blocking that and you're protecting yourself from it. So, dude, there's another layer to this thing that you just mic dropped on the show, which is, like, how weird is that? I mean, that's just weird straight up. Like, you have a high level doctor who's coming on with like revolutionary theories about potential, things going on with, in terms of snake venom, which sounds outrageous, but if you hear him talk about it, it's very compelling. And, you know, he's studied. And so he's bringing up this nicotine association with COVID-19. And suddenly they're saying, hey, let's take the nicotine out of cigarettes. That's not like alarming, you know?
Joseph, remember you and I actually talked about this one time. And I did remember that after my initial just anger about the whole thing. That did occur to me as well. And what I told you that time we were talking about, I don't know if you remember this, but when I was working on Jim Breslow's show, when the COVID thing just started breaking, had a woman that worked for us who was law enforcement. And so sometimes when we'd want to track down a guest and I couldn't find info, we'd reach out to her because she had ways of doing that. But she knew that I was kind of, you know, on the fringe a little bit. And right off the bat, January of 2020, she sent to me, she goes, Michael, this is what we're telling people, you know, within our group, you need to go out and get nicotine patches. At the time, their feeling was that the nicotine patches will help fight against the cytokine storm because, whatever it is about nicotine, it definitely helps. And I've also read, in some of my conspiracy forums, which I delve in, is the same thing that you're saying, which is that cigarette smokers and even pot smokers, weirdly enough, were not getting COVID at the rates that you would think, since we've been told that putting, you know, particulate matter into your lungs would be an aggravation. So whatever it is, I don't know how it works. There is something to it. And this does seem peculiar that he would come up with this. And so to your point, there probably is some of that. And also, I think it's just total Biden. Look over there. I'm not going to do anything. Those people need to fix something. So it's devious on all levels.
It's really devious, particularly when there's vapes, which have nicotine hits that are just like next level. I mean, if you've ever smoked a Juul, which I have, you know, it's got some salt formulation in the nicotine, which makes it break the blood-brain barrier more or whatever it is. I don't know, but it's like next level nicotine addiction. And I'm not recommending it, obviously. But, you know, in terms of COVID, you know, having like I ended up not quitting my nicotine addiction, which I don't intake through smoke. So I feel like it's a right. little bit better, although I'm wondering
yes.
how it affects the gut biome, having these like pouches and stuff. So I'm cognizant of it and I'm sort of monitoring myself. But at the same time, I decided like, well, heck, I'm not going to give this up then. Why would I? If it's helping against like the disease of the century, then might as well keep enjoying it. That and coffee, those are my only two vices. So oh. there you go.
Oh, yeah. It's coffee is my drug of choice. I go through
I love
way
it.
Too many cups every day.
I try to stop by like I try to have I go, my first one is a five shot Americano. I mean, yeah, five shot Americano with heavy cream steamed. And then in the yeah. afternoon, I go with a four shot Americano with heavy cream steamed. And that's my limit. So it's only two, but it's two powerful ones.
I feel pretty pedestrian. I grind some coffee, whatever I get at Trader Joe's, but I drink a lot of it. I drink probably four or five cups during a day, you know, which is way too much, I know, but.
Yeah. So what's your studio like there? I saw it once we interviewed and I had the visual up and your studio looks pretty good. Did you
Thank
create
you, brother.
That studio as a result of the TNT show or were you already
yes, I did.
Having that studio? I think you did. Yeah. I think you had mentioned that. Tell me what you put into that. And, cause I'm building one too soon. So you're okay, kind of my inspiration.
Well, that's nice. It cost me $10,000. So what happened was there, my garage had an extra area that was built onto it by previous owners who used this little part as a art studio. So it's a small room. And then the people that sold it, the next people had like a little kitchenette in here. Anyway, we took all of that stuff out. We found some contractors through some friends and all in this, the whole thing cost me $10,000. And that includes the sound reinforcement that you see behind me, because the sound reinforcement was about $1,000, but it made a lot of difference. But, you know, you just got to find the right contractor. So all we had to do now, it's not, you know, it's not fully insulated the right way. It's not a room within a room, but it's what I could afford to do very quickly. So, you know, we put in a new floor, drywalled the walls, double drywall, put up the sound reinforcement. Like I couldn't really rehearse a band in here or anything. It'd be still too much loud for my neighbors, but at least it cuts down on, because I live by the Burbank airport. So inside my house, the first week I was doing TNT, it was just a no-go. You could hear the mowers, the gardeners, the airplanes, the dogs and cats. So
this took me
1 week, and there was a team of contractors that we borrowed from another project via friends, and the whole thing cost me $10,000, but it's been really worth it. I love coming out here and listening to music, and I love walking out here and doing the show in the mornings, being out of the house.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I only have one neighbor at my new place. It's a little bit more isolated, but still sort of close to things. And my best friend out here, one of my best friends out here, is a contractor and wants to help me with the studio. And he's just like,
you're set.
And the owner, yeah, he's like all excited that we're going to be doing that and everything like that. So yeah, it's exciting, man. It's exciting times, dude. We're on the cusp, but it's fantastic to be working on TNT radio and being able to speak truth to power and just have open voices and open conversations. It's a gift, isn't it?
Joseph, it feels like providence. I think I've said this to you before, Joseph Arthur, Michael right. Parker. I mean, it feels like it was meant to be. And yes, it is an honor. I try to express that to my audience that this is an honor and I don't take it lightly.
That's fantastic. I need to do that more. I feel that way a lot. It's fun. It's a lot of work, but I even enjoy that. I enjoy the robust schedule of it. You know, I enjoy like having to be sort of like focused every day. You can never have a really off day. You have to kind of be on. Well, there's the 1 minute music, dude. Thanks, Michael.
Joseph Arthur, come on my show.
Take us anytime, dude. I owe you two appearances now. So anytime, I would love to, and give us a final thought.
Love each other, people. Be happy. Put some smiles on. Go outside and get some fresh air.
Love each other. Be happy. Put some smiles on and get fresh air. Michael Parker, deprogrammed on TNT. Tune in and tune in again and again and again. You're listening to TNT. Keep listening. Keep loving. TNT out. Bye.